broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios. This is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
We would like to thank Woodbine for their sponsorship of this program and some of the other programming and events here at Capital OTB. Woodbine's 2023 Thoroughbred Stakes program has more than $17 million in purses, including 39 graded stakes, 5 grade 1 events, and 2 $1 million classics, the King's Plate and the Woodbine Mile. Woodbine, now through December, great racing north of the border.
Good morning. Welcome to Racing Across America. And I'm going to, there we go. Bingo bango with the automatic background changer. Racing Across America on this Sunday morning. Seth Merrow in the studio. Thanks for joining us as usual on a Sunday morning. We will do a little recap of some of the action, maybe a little handicapping, some news and notes. And a little bit later on, we will be joined by Tony Kahlo from the Finger Lakes to do our Sunday preview of some Monday action in upstate New York. So all of that on this morning's show. And there was some really nice racing yesterday. We were joined yesterday on Racing Across America by Chris Griffin from Monmouth, because they had a big day down at Monmouth yesterday, Haskell preview day. And it was jam-packed with stakes, four nice stakes races, and obviously some results to pay attention to going forward. Do want to alert you as well, as they are closing up the Santa Anita meet. There is a mandatory pay today in the Rainbow Six out in Southern California, so keep that in mind for a little bit later on this Sunday. Mandatory pay, Rainbow Six at Santa Anita. And want to also, in preview, alert you that this week you want to tune into the network a little bit earlier, because it's Royal Ascot Week, one of the premier race meets in the world, with 5 days of just super high quality racing. And typically, I didn't pull up the PPs. Typically, they start things off. I mean, there's a, let me see if I can quickly pull it up. But typically, it kicks off with a solid great group stakes race. And let's see if I can, like I say, just quickly grab those first day entries, which I'm sure are up and ready to go. So the point being, Royal Ascot will start on Tuesday, and race number one on Tuesday, the Queen Anne, a group one stakes race, the King's Stand, the group one also on Tuesday, St. James's Palace, a group one on Tuesday. So it kicks off solidly on Tuesday and goes through Saturday with, as I say, 5 days of top quality racing over there in the UK, Royal Ascot. So tune in a little bit earlier throughout the week to catch some of that nice action from, as they say, across the pond. All right, we had great action right here on this side of the pond yesterday. We'll kick things off taking a look at the action at Belmont. It was the return of Goodnight Olive and the Bed of Roses, last year's Breeders' Cup Filly Mare Sprint Champion, but also overall in the division, the Eclipse Champion from last year. And I said on the handicappers report yesterday, if you're new to the game and you've heard trip handicapping bandied about, and you're not sure what you're looking for when you're looking for a trip to key in on next time, pull up the Derby City distaff from Derby weekend and watch Goodnight Olive just get all jammed up in that race, nowhere to go, and winds up third at 1-2 in the previous race down at Churchill, previous to yesterday. So she was looking to rebound, and Goodnight Olive in a field of five was the 30 cent to the dollar favorite. She's going to be the number one horse under Irod Ortiz. And for a while around the turn, it looked like, oh, this is going to replay. This may not turn out well. And you can see she's in behind. But as opposed to Churchill, Irod kind of has things play out where he can get outside. Now, the number three is Wicked Halo. The number five is Caramel Swirl. They're both talented. And Wicked Halo makes Goodnight Olive really have to work for it. The chart margin here winds up to be a neck. Wicked Halo is from Winchell and Asmussen. And as I say, 30 cents to the dollar, the neck victory was all she could ask for. But Goodnight Olive does get it done for Chad Brown and company. Irad Ortiz on board. Chad with 3 winners yesterday. Irad with 5 winners yesterday. So he continues just a phenomenal role down there at Belmont in this spring/summer meet. And it was interesting that after the race, you know, the press, the media, because I saw it in a couple of different places, Chad Brown commenting after the race. Again, she Goodnight Olive, the Philly and Mayor sprint champion, Eclipse champion last year. But Chad said, you know what? We may think a little bit outside the box and shoot for the Molly Pitcher next. The Molly Pitcher comes up on July 22nd at 1 16th. So it's possible they'll stretch her out. She wound up with a 97 buyer yesterday and does get it done, but as I say, had to work for it. Now, you would think the logical or a logical spot would be the Ballerina, and you'd also think with Wicked Halo being Winchell and Asmussen, that one may turn up there as well. We'll see, but it was very intriguing that they have the, you know, the sprint champ, and they're thinking, let's go over to Monmouth maybe and take a little bit of a shot. And Chad said, I think he was, the quote I read said there was $500,000 up for grabs, but it wasn't a grade one. So, you know, no final decisions, obviously, but he did note that maybe we'll think outside of the box and take a little shot at stretching her out next time. We'll see. Again, he was just floating that around. And with, you know, nice options right up the turnpike for right up the north way for us. We'll see how that all works out. She had a 97 buyer, and I saw some of the New York buyers from yesterday. And I probably should have pulled up the replay. There was a race earlier in the day yesterday that had a, you know, speaking of horses worth watching, it was a debut effort from a Todd Pletcher firster, and I'm just trying to remember which race it actually was. Was it the opener? The opener also had a nice winner, Mischievous Angel, first time starter from Chad Brown, and I saw the buyer there as well. Mischievous Angel, a nice 87. But the one I'm talking about is Donegal Forever, fifth race. Donegal Forever, who debuted for, obviously, Donegal Racing and Todd Pletcher, and took a lot of action as well on the tote board. I had not used that one, but with the tote action that one was taking was certainly interesting. As they came out of the gate, I thought, good thing I didn't use it, because John Embriel said, Donegal Forever stumbles a little bit out of the gate and went right to the back of the pack, and then kind of coming around the turn, got into the pack, and then seemed to kind of fade a little bit, and I thought, with the bad start, not going to get it done. And then Donegal Forever came nicely and did get it done impressively in the debut. And again, I saw the buyer 89, so a solid debut buyer for the first three-year-old first-time starter for Donegal Racing and Todd Pletcher, Donegal Forever. But what was notable was after the race was over, watching live with the pan shot, again, Embriel said stumbled, and you saw the horse go to the back of the pack. But when you watched the live shot head-on, it was a notable stumble. It was one of those where the horse's nose kind of goes to the ground. And Irad Ortiz then loses his left iron, and so for a couple of strides he's just on his right leg kind of trying to balance and get back in the saddle to continue the ride. So with that start for this horse to win as nicely as he did yesterday, again, it's, you know, mid-season, and we'll see what's in the future for Donegal Forever, but he may be one to watch going forward as well, because as I say, it was a kind of a remarkable performance given the start. All right, let's go over to Monmouth again. It was a nice Stakes Day yesterday over there. We'll kind of work our way backwards. The 13th race was the Monmouth, a mile and an eighth on the grass. I went with Trebuven in here, and that one was the 7-5 favorite. It was Chad Brown, Michael Dubb, Matticat and company. Question mark was hadn't been seen since the Sword Dancer up at Saratoga. What was would the fitness level be? And again, went off as the 7-5 favorite. The fitness level wasn't enough to get it done, and in fact, wasn't enough to run 1-2-3. Trebuven, number one horse, finishes a disappointing fourth in here. Never Explained for Shug, the number two horse, ran very well, and I thought was going to go back to back after having won on Preakness weekend. But you can see there on the outside, Catnip, Joel Rosario, coming. And gets up. Chart margin winds up to be half a length at 6-1. Never Explained second. Speaking Scout runs third. I had Never Explained Speaking Scout in my mix. Never Explained, again, I had used a little bit on Preakness weekend at $30 win. And as I say, late in the stretch, it looked like Never Explained was going to go back to back. But Catnip, who I didn't use, kind of interesting. This was only a seventh career start. Fourth win, Michael Stidham trainee. It was the third start this year, been working well down at Fair Hill. Had tried it one stake before. They got ambitious last year as a three-year-old coming off a maiden breaker in the second career start. They tried the Virginia Derby, wound up sixth in there. Since then, a couple of allowance events, an optional claimer, and had started the season going 2-for-2 in that allowance and optional claimer, and then stepped back into stakes company in, as I say, career start number 7 for Mike Stidham. Joe Rosario on board, as noted, and gets it done pretty nicely. Interesting to see where this one goes. This is now a 4-year-old, but you would think off of this becomes a player in the turf division. Yeah, you know, there are so many options out there. A player at the top level of the turf division or just kind of bouncing around and picking spots, we'll see. But what we've seen so far has shown this one has some talent and worth watching. That was a nice win yesterday. Got that momentum going in the stretch and ran down Never Explained. Salvatore Mile also on the agenda yesterday at Monmouth. I did not see that. I didn't use the winner in the Monmouth, and I didn't use the winner in the Salvatore Mile. I liked Artorias, who went off at 5-2 as the second choice. The betting public was far more clever than I, using Petulante on top. And, you know, maybe I should kick myself in that this horse, 5 starts, 5 exacta finishes. Now 6 starts, 4 wins in a couple of seconds. Petulante, the number one horse here. Victor Barbosa, Luis Saez, and nice late run to get up there by half a length. Nimitz Class, who I thought was interesting, does run second. Trademark third. Artorias disappoints, running fourth. And Artorias was the horse who last year sold some promise as a 3-year-old. For Chad Brown, winning in the second career start, and then they went right from that to the Curlin and won that pretty convincingly, and then thought, you know, tried. Oh, and I should note, you see there, Luis Saez hops off the horse right after the finish, but the follow-up articles I read said that actually the horse was then walked back to the winner's circle, and Luis Saez hopped back on board for the photo, and the trainer, Victor Barbosa, reported that the horse was fine when they got back to the barn, or at least at that point, a little bit later in the day. I'm sure they'll, you know, recheck this morning and whatnot. But it seems like, again, whenever you see the jock hop off without kind of doing the ride out, you're a little curious. But it seems like things are okay with the horse, given the follow-up articles. And Barbosa said the winner is going to go back to Gulfstream, and no immediate decisions left. But again, with the Salvatore Mile victory, you would think some stakes action against older as the summer progresses will be on the agenda. Just which spots do they pick? This was the stakes debut for Petulante in career start number 6. Nice looking win. Again, chart margin winds up to be half a length. Haven't seen buyers and let me see if I can quickly check a little more. I checked a little bit earlier for buyers, and I still don't see any buyers up for the Monmouth races yesterday yet. And just some of the usual spots I checked, they may be floating around, but a little bit earlier, it is the Eatontown, race number 11 on the card. I had it labeled as competitive, and I think it played out that way. Surprisingly was my top pick, and surprisingly, that one went off as the favorite at 6-5 from a 7-2 morning line. And I said when I handicapped yesterday here on the network, I may regret not using Gina Romantica. That one went off as the second choice at 5-2. I had left that one out of my mix, and it turns out that was an okay move, as Gina Romantica, the number 8, will wind up fourth for Chad Brown and Peter Brandt. Surprisingly, the number 1 horse, it's Shug in the Phipps. And as I say, I was a little bit taken aback that the horse was the 6-5 favorite, but ran very well. But consumer spending ran better. As I said, Gina Romantica went out for Chad Brown. Consumer spending, as the name kind of hints at, is Chad Brown and Klarovich, coming off a second place finish in the Bogey in the seasonal debut. And you can see in those Klarovich colors. And I will say, you see, surprisingly on the rail, that was the difference. Sammy Camacho on consumer spending got the trip on the outside and got the momentum. And to me, it looked like surprisingly early in the stretch had momentum and just was reluctant, or maybe there wasn't enough room to go through on the rail. Then they got to the gap for the turf chute. And so there was no rail there. And consumer, you can see he not going through, not, and then gets to the gap and now gets the momentum on the rail. But then when the rail appears again, seems to like, it's kind of stop a little bit again. And so the momentum all went to consumer spending on the outside, whereas I thought either I didn't see the head on, so maybe there wasn't room, or maybe the horse was just a little bit reluctant. It wasn't as nice of a trip for surprisingly on the inside. So that might have made the difference. Again, I'm going to have to go back and see the head on. Either way, it you know, there wasn't room, or the horse was kind of reluctant to go through, because as I say, when the chute came, the momentum seemed to be there. So I think, you know, it might have been a little bit of a different scenario had things switched. I liked the post position. I thought it was going to be able to save some ground. Thought there was enough speed there to close into, and it was a couple of closing efforts that ran 1-2 there, but it was consumer spending that got it done. My top three, I had them juggled up. I had it 1-2-3, came out 3-1-2. So there were logicals, and as I said, I thought it was a competitive race, and that's the way it played out. 3-year-olds this year, we have talked about it plenty yesterday, but last few weeks really through the Triple Crown. The 3-year-old picture is kind of cloudy. And I think that continued with what we saw yesterday, because King's Barnes was the 1-2 favorite. And I said, I looked at the horse and probably deserved the short price being the Louisiana Derby winner given this field. But I had said yesterday, man, I looked around and I wasn't totally convinced. But there was nobody else who was pulling me in. So I put King's Barnes on top. And I thought it was going to work out that way about the top of the stretch, as King's Barnes is dueling with Subrogate, who I had in the second spot, and was very interesting stepping out of a couple of maiden specials, but one in the last start. So Subrogate and King's Barnes, you can see dueling here. And then King's Barnes pulls away, and I thought, okay, this one is going to turn out to be classy enough. But Salute the Stars, the number 4, coming. Even here you think it's going to have a tough time of it. But no, the momentum carries that one by right at the wire. Salute the Stars gets it done at 5-2 and nips King's Barnes. Subrogate, unfortunately, faded to fourth because was doing all the dirty work in the stakes debut and a career start number 3. So Subrogate could be a little bit interesting if they pick some spots for that one going forward. It was also the first time around 2 turns for Subrogate. So it was a nice effort from that one. Kings Barnes, again, a little bit disappointing given the price and the fact that this one was the Louisiana Derby winner. Had tossed in a clunker in the Kentucky Derby, however. And intrigued to see what's up next for Kings Barnes. But Brad Cox, after the race for the winner, said, salute the stars. They'll look at either the Jim Dandy on July 29th or the Haskell on July 22nd. Again, this was only the 4th career start. Had started in Kentucky in the barn of John Ortiz. A couple of starts at Ellis Park last year as a 2-year-old on the grass. It's a Gary and Mary West homebred. And given the success last year on the grass, they were going to continue that way on the during the 3-year-old season. And then came back the middle of May at Churchill and were entered for a seasonal return on the grass. That one got washed off. Horse wins on the dirt, and they said, yeah, okay, let's try the Pegasus. And now it's on to, you know, either the Jim Dandy or the Haskell for Salute the Stars. But again, only 4 starts, 3 wins, and a second place finish. So in that 3-year-old, and as I noted, as I led into the race, the 3-year-old scene continues to be kind of jumbled up because Kings Barnes goes off at 1-2. The winner of the Louisiana Derby, but gets upset by a fresh face on the stakes scene. And that's kind of been the scenario this year with the 3-year-old scene. When you think, this one's set to maybe make a little noise new, somebody else jumps into the mix and gets it done. So expecting potentially Haskell, Jim Dandy, Travers, Pennsylvania Derby to maybe sort things out. But I said starting a few weeks ago, the 3-year-old class may not be defined until the fall against older. And talking with Anthony Mormino yesterday, maybe they just aren't good enough. Maybe nobody will define themselves as a real star or 2 or 3 kind of rising to make you say, oh, okay, here they've matured now. But second half of the year, either one of the ones we've seen already has the potential to add a couple of races to the resume, or somebody will just kind of mature and make a name for themselves the second half of the year. One way or the other, it's going to be very interesting on the 3-year-old scene with those 4 races I mentioned, 2 of them right up here, Haskell, Jim Dandy, Travers, and Pennsylvania Derby, to see how potentially they do sort themselves out. Down at Ellis yesterday, and again, this is the meet that's making up for Churchill. Normally Churchill would still have 3 more weeks before they move to Ellis, but again, they suspended racing with the horse fatalities down there around Derby time as they examine things down there. So they're over at Ellis now. A couple of stakes yesterday. They were ungraded stakes, but they had interesting performers in both of them, and so I pulled those up to look as well. The Monomoy Girl, it was a scratch-reduced field of only 5 in here, but it was very interesting because of a couple of them. Who's Your Filly, who was so phenomenal last year and then so disappointing in the first couple of starts of this year, running 3rd in the Rachel Alexandra, a well-beaten 3rd, and a well-beaten 4th in the Fairground Oaks. But in the Black Eyed Susan, it seemed like, maybe Who's Your Filly is now getting back to what the promise was as a 2-year-old, as she led much of the way and then wound up 2nd. So she was interesting to see yesterday in the Monomoy Girl, but she was going to have to get past Wet Paint. Wet Paint, who had brought a 3-race win streak into the Kentucky Oaks, including the Fantasy down at Oaklawn, and then as the favorite in the Kentucky Derby, Wet Paint ran 4th. Wet Paint's the number 1 horse here, and this was not much of a performance from Wet Paint. Now, she will get up to be 2nd, but that's Who's Your Filly on the front end, who just, now, granted, and that's probably played into Wet Paint. I mean, Who's Your Filly is out there. The fractions on the page are 25, 48, 113, 124, goes out the mile and change on all of those, and 136 and change to win. So I, was floating along on the front end. That was going to make it tough. But as they say, Wet Paint, chart margins just 3.5, 4 lengths back. and makes up some ground here in the stretch, but no challenge, clearly, for Hoosier Philly. So Hoosier Philly gets back to the winner's circle. Again, going to be interesting to see what Tommy Amos does with that one. Going to be interesting to see what their game plan is now for Wet Paint, who had started the season with such promise. Again, wins the Martha Washington, the Honeybee, and the Fantasy down at Oaklawn, and then fourth in the Kentucky Oaks. And, you know, as I say, kind of a disappointing, although with the fractions, with an excuse, but a little bit of a disappointing performance yesterday for that one on the three-year-old Philly scene. Obviously, pretty mischievous. Winning the Acorn last week, takes the lead. We have a couple of the prominent races for the division up here. We'll see if some of these horses show up. Coaching Club, American Oaks, and the Alabama as well. Also yesterday, as I say, there were interesting fields. That Monomoy Girl was the more interesting of the two. But the Chorleywood, I'm guessing is how you pronounce that, a little overnight stakes race yesterday. Yeah, Tis the Bomb in here, the Kenny McPeak runner, who has kind of had some interesting performances that seem to have this horse in a position to be in the conversation on the turf side of things. Certainly last year or a couple of years ago as a three-year-old, but last year was a little bit disappointing. But Tis the Bomb in here. Therapist, who at 8 years old, verging on $1 million in the Mike Maker barn. That one was also intriguing. And Hidden Stash, and I'm not sure, I'm guessing probably still in on it, but Hidden Stash, you know, was in the news a couple of years ago. The 2021 Kentucky Derby, ran 14th there. But as a Syracuse guy, it was interesting to me, Jim Boeheim, one of the minority owners on this one, as I say, perhaps still in on the horse, Vicky Oliver trainee. So Hidden Stash had a little interest as well. But at 8-1 from a 10-1 morning line, it is Vivar getting it done. Julian Lepereau, the number four horse for trainer Robbie Medina, the former Shug assistant. Vivar, in a battle with the Veteran Therapist, and Hidden Stash is also in there. Vivar's the number four, Therapist number two, Hidden Stash the number one, and they're all right there at a wire, at the wire. The margin of victory, head and a neck, head to first to second, neck second to third. So Vivar gets it done. Career win number four and career start number 13, as I say, for Robbie Medina. And it's a couple of wins and a couple of seconds in five starts this year. So having a little punch in the four-year-old season. Vivar scoring in the Chorleywood yesterday down at Ellis. All right. Going to take a quick break. When we come back, some news and notes and maybe a little handicapping, and a little bit later on, our friend Tony Kahlo will join us, giving us a little preview of some of the Monday Finger Lakes action. All of that coming up when Racing Across America continues. Stay tuned.
No matter where in the world you are, the excitement of wagering on horse racing is just a click away. You'll get live streaming, past performances, race replays, our virtual tote board, analysis and selections from professional handicappers, a simple, safe, and secure wagering platform, and best of all, you get track prices. CapitalOTBBet.com. Bet any place, anytime at CapitalOTBBet.com. And be sure to download our new mobile app from the iTunes Store or Google Play.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. Seth Merrill in the studio. Thanks for joining us on this Sunday morning. Oh, happy Father's Day as well, which Chris Griffin yesterday mentioned it at Monmouth. They have been talking about it for a couple of days pregame at Belmont as well. Father's Day, and over the years we've talked to folks at many of the various venues. Father's Day is a big day on track. I guess understandably so. Bring Dad out to the races. And in fact, today they have a nice giveaway. I mean, if folks, you still time to hop in the car and maybe make it work. Nice tote bag giveaway down at Belmont today. And as I say, the mandatory pay at Santa Anita, I would think there would be a nice crowd out there for their closing day effort and tied in with Father's Day. But again, Chris Griffin said they were expecting a big day down at Monmouth. And I know, you know, going back a few years, as I say, talking to people, Arlington, it was a big day. Various venues. It's on the calendar, it is one of the top, you know, whatever, two, three, 4 days of the year at many tracks. I mentioned earlier that yesterday I ride with five winners on the card at Belmont yesterday, and that prompted me to pick up the Equibase leaderboard down at Belmont. And then I went to the calendar, and if I was counting correctly, there are 13 racing days left at Belmont. So it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out in both of the categories, jockey and trainer. Jockey side of things down at Belmont after yesterday, and again with that 13 days left, Irad and Jose Ortiz up at the top of the list. Irad with a 6-win lead, 43-37. Then you jump down to Manny Franco, 22. Dylan Davis, 16. Javier Castellano, 14. It would seem with the numbers that are currently up there, it'll come down to either Irad or his brother Jose, although Irad's just going very, very well, certainly. No surprise. I mean, we talked about it in the handicappers report yesterday here. You know, Andy and company talking a lot about it in New York. Irad, he takes the value out of horses. You lose some points, just he's riding so well, but he's winning, so deservedly so. On the trainer side of things, this might be interesting as well. Currently leading amongst the trainers, Linda Rice with 22, Chad Brown with 21. Then you jump down to Mike Maker with 14, and tied at 11, it's Todd Pletcher and Christophe Clement. So again, it seems like, on the trainer side of things, it could juggle up, but it seems like Linda Rice or Chad Brown, certainly worth watching over the last 13 days of racing as they're separated by one winner. We will see how that works out down at Belmont. As they say, going to be intriguing to watch the last 13. It's always Saratoga. It's particularly fun because I think everybody likes to win the Saratoga meet. But other meets, when it starts to come down to the wire and you have trainers and jockeys kind of dueling it out, it's always fun to watch on the human side of things to see who winds up with the title at the various meets. Some news also came out yesterday that, interesting, on the New York and the Saratoga side of things. Dave Greenick article in the Racing Forum. It is headlined. Trainer Joseph gets okay to race at Naira Tracks, assigned 23 Saratoga stalls. Safi Joseph, there was kind of, I was going to say an unofficial ban. Ban would be too strong a word, but Safi wasn't able to race at Churchill after he had the two horses break down leading into Kentucky Derby week. And there was an agreement between Safi and Churchill. He wasn't going to race horses. And there was, again, kind of unofficially that situation in New York as officials were waiting for necropsies to be done on the two Safi horses. One of those was completed. The Kentucky Horse Racing Commission had reported that, they had done the examination on Parents Pride, one of the Safi horses that broke down. That was inconclusive, but the report did state that no prohibited substances were found in the horse's system. The other horse, the results aren't done yet, but given that Saratoga is right around the corner, Naira said, Safi, we will allow, given what we've seen on the results, we're going to allow Safi to run, and he'll get 23 stalls up at Saratoga. So again, that news coming out yesterday. So we will see Safi Joseph up at Saratoga. And perhaps in the meantime, racing at Belmont. He had one horse that he was kind of flirting with to enter a stakes race at Belmont that was mentioned in that Greenig article. But again, that news coming out just yesterday. All right, quickly, I am going to talk about my Capital OTB bet play of the day. You can find that on Twitter and over on the Capital OTB YouTube channel on a daily basis. As I do the show in here, I'll certainly mention it as well. And today's Capital OTB bet .com play of the day. It's in the feature today at Belmont, the New York Stallion Series stakes race, 7 furlongs on the turf for the three-year-old fillies. I have it 9, 10, 7, and 3. And I'm going to put number 9 on top. We're getting 7-2 on the morning line. And this is one of those where it's a little tough for me to see which way it might float. I could see this one floating down a point or up a point because I think it's a kind of a fun competitive field. But I'm going to land here. A little bit of interesting breeding, and it's kind of lived up to that so far. It's a Mark Cassie trainee. Debuted down at Gulfstream. It was an okay debut, but was against open company. Then comes up to New York and faces statebreds, wins to break the maiden, moves right into that first level allowance, obviously, and runs a close-up second. I think what we've seen so far bodes well for the stakes debut this afternoon. I think the horse is going to be a good fit. So I'm going to put Stolen Future on top. More lightly raced than many in here, so I think there's a little more upside potential. And same scenario with Ms. Big Bucks, the number 10 horse, Michelle Nevin trainee. Okay debut behind the top pick back in April. And then with one to break the maiden in the second career start in an off-the-turfer. With those two under the belt, and again, being lightly raced, maybe some upside potential. Getting back to the turf today, Miss Big Bucks is also in my mix. And again, these two are more lightly raced than most in the field, and I'm hoping they do have that upside potential. But with a little more experience, Camp Aquila, the number 7 horse, I think could be a player for Tommy Amos. This horse, 2 and 3 starts back, was in some open company and showed a little oomph in those races. Came to New York and faced statebreds last time. A little bit disappointing, but I think the horse is better than that. Midtown Lights gets back to the turf for Brad Cox. Started the career on the turf in a couple of starts last year. Has been on the dirt since then and has been running well. And I just thought it was clever. It may be clever that they're trying this spot. So I think Midtown Lights is live in here. So the play of the day will be race number 8. I have it 9, 10, 7, and 3, but I'm going to do a little win action on the 9. And then I'm going to box up on an exact. Because again, this is a 11 horse field potentially. I haven't seen scratches yet. But 7-2, 6-1, 8-1, 4-1. Those odds hold up. The exacta box should offer enough value. 3, 7, 9, and 10 exacta box. There it is. The play of the day brought to you by CapitalOTBBet.com. All right. We'll take a break. When we come back, Tony Kahlo will join us, and we'll do a little preview of Finger Lakes Monday action. Stay tuned.
What if there was a way to become a better horse player? To have a better knowledge of the game, to be more successful. What if there were a way to take what you've learned, what you know, and make better decisions, better choices? In horse racing, knowledge is a powerful tool. Race results and replays, past performances and live streaming, wagering from all your digital devices. Capital OTB. Become a better horse player.
No matter where in the world you are, the excitement of wagering on horse racing is just a click away. You'll get live streaming, past performances, race replays, our virtual tote board, analysis and selections from professional handicappers, a simple, safe, and secure wagering platform, and best of all, you get track prices. CapitalOTBBet.com. Bet any place, anytime at CapitalOTBBet.com. And be sure to download our new mobile app from the iTunes Store or Google Play.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. As we do normally on Sunday, a visit from our friend Tony Kahlo out at the Finger Lakes. A little preview of some of the Finger Lakes Monday action. Tony, good morning.
Hey, Beth, how's it going?
Very good. Happy to have you on board. As we get into the new week, what's your weather look like out there? I think we've all cleared out from the Canadian smoke. Luckily, I'm knocking wood.
Which is a good thing.
Yeah.
Kind of...
I'm just pulling up, I have the Equibase stats here, and just, you know, as we are now a little bit into the meet, always interesting to see where we stand on the human side of things. And on the jockey side, I have Andre Worry with a nice little lead over John Davila, 24-19, Oscar Gomez sitting third, a tie for fourth with Kai Barcoa and DiDiego. So on the... jockey side of things, Worry has a little bit of a lead there. And then I'm just pulling up the trainer side of things. And no surprise, you know, Chris Engelhart sitting up there. And Jeffrey Engelhart second. So the Engelharts sitting atop. But again, we're early in the meet. But it's always interesting to look on the human side of things, where things stand. And maybe that helps the handicapping sometimes.
Yeah, and, you know, you talk about the Engelhart.
And before we do that, I will give you, I don't know, restricted applause. I don't know how to, I was going to say applause, restricted applause, because we were texting back and forth on Monday. You know, you had lamented, gee, you had some short prices in when you talked last week. But then you tossed out the 9-1 horse, who ends up coming under the wire first, but gets DQ'd. And I texted you. That was so tough because, again, it was a nice 9-1 winner that, as I say, got DQ'd. But it was a DQ out of the starting gate. That never happens. Now, that said, did take a vicious right turn. But, oof, that was frustrating. But, again, it was a very nice call.
Yeah,
oh, for everyone that happens, you get one back sooner or later. So
we'll look. I
believe me. Well, let's see if we can give out some ideas for tomorrow. Again, Finger Lakes now on the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday schedule. So tomorrow we'll kick things off at the Finger Lakes with maiden specials going a mile and 70. Nice little field of eight in here. What did you see in the opener tomorrow?
Just want to.
All right, let's move on to race number six this afternoon, sixth race this afternoon. Lower-level B-conditioned claimers, they're going to go six furlongs, and this is a scheduled field of 12 in here. You can always count on being able to find a little value. Even the favorites tend to offer a little value in fields like this. What did you see in the sixth? Probably will get a price, but Buckley has good numbers off the layoff, and as you say, there's some talent here. That's an interesting look, and again, in a potential 12 horse field, there will definitely be some value there. You mentioned No Chalk was a nice winner the other day. That's a nice runner for our friends, the Matisse brothers. Always like to see them, and it was it's a homebred, I believe, for the Matisse brothers as well. No Chalk, so that was a nice winner the other day. But you mentioned the 12 horse.
Very talented.
Yeah, you mentioned the 12 horse field, and when you mentioned that, I'm curious because I'm guessing it probably is very different for you as a race caller if there's a field of six entering for a six furlong race. As opposed to 12, do you have to set in your mind like how many times you're going to go through the field with a 12-horse field and where on the track you're going to kind of switch things up and go back to the leader? I would think it would be a different format than half of that number in the six furlong race.
You know, it comes down.
Field. So certainly looking forward to that one. And another race call, I don't know if they've ever asked you before, have you ever called a quarter horse race? Those seem impossible to me.
Oh, I have.
I had forgotten about those mule races. That's funny. Very good, very good. All right, let's move on to the eighth tomorrow. State bred allowance, quick 5.5. This one's a nice field too. Nice little field of 9. Good. Who knows? You know, if you believe in the bounce, maybe there was a little bounce last time, and I could see exactly what you're saying. A nice performance.
This is a class drop too, Seth. That, yeah. When you see that allowance, that's a conditioned.
Second in that race, so
yeah,
that was a tough race. Yeah, all right. Ninth and final tomorrow at the Finger Lakes. Maiden Special is going 3/4 mile. Field of 10 scheduled in here.
We can get anywhere near 3-1 on Buck.
What's going to help bring that price down? He's part of an entry, and the other part of the entry hasn't been seen in quite a while, but was racing down on the Naira circuit. That may pull down the value a little bit. by the better horse, but they don't give up, which is always a good sign. Tony, we really appreciate the visit, as always, the conversation and whatnot. And I guarantee you're invited back next week. There's no question. One of the best. Are you kidding?
Yeah, you know.
Tony, again, appreciate the visit. We'll talk next week.
All right, Seth. Thanks for having me.
Hello from the Finger Lakes. And again, they're on the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday schedule. We have the tip sheets up from the Finger Lakes and the best play of the day every day on the Capital OTB website. If you go to the Finger Lakes website, they have free past performances available on their racing days as well. So you can check all of that info out for the Finger Lakes. All right, I'm going to wrap it up. But once again, I will remind you, coming up today, Santa Anita, closing day on their meet. So, mandatory pay in the Rainbow Six. If you'd like to take a look at that, I'm sure that pool will juice up nicely. And also, as I mentioned earlier, keep in mind, set your alarm. I don't know if it's that early. Set your alarm. And I think I went off the page. 14, so they're going to start. Yeah, it's not going to be that early. They're going to start at 2:30 on Tuesday, their time, which maybe 5 hours, so 5 or 6 hours. So we're talking, you know, what, 9 or 10:30 here. So you don't really have to necessarily set the alarm for a crack of dawn start. But do note that Tuesday kicks off Royal Ascot. And as I said, opening day, and this is kind of traditional. They start with a Group One. It's the Queen Anne kicking things off on Tuesday. A couple races later, the King's Stand, a Group One, the St. James's Palace, a Group One, all of that on Tuesday, and fabulous group level stakes action all week long at Royal Ascot. So make sure to mark that on your calendar for this upcoming week as well. But in the meantime, plenty of nice action this afternoon. As usual on a Sunday afternoon, I'll have a little Belmont Park in the mix. We'll toss in a little Monmouth as well, and as usual on a Sunday afternoon, we'll take a look at a little harness racing up the Northway with some Saratoga harness. Last couple of weeks at the harness track, I feel like I've been kind of nailing it maybe too strong, but doing okay up at the harness track. So we'll see if we can keep that roll going on the sulky side of the game a little bit later today. Should be fun. So make sure you tune in for all of that. Again, just about an hour or so, we'll kick it off. Monmouth today is going to kick off at, I'm being told from the 1240. That's what I have. So Monmouth is kicking off at 1240 today. And of course, Belmont a little bit after that at 1:05. A little bit before that will be Saratoga Harness. But as usual, sometimes I don't get a chance to jump in with the ideas on the first couple at Saratoga Harness because usually the Naira pregame is going. So, but we will jump in when time permits and take you through the afternoon with that action and more here on the network. So make sure you tune in this afternoon. If you'd like to join us here at the Clubhouse Racebook, we'd also love to have you do that as well. 711 Central Avenue in Albany. Come down, grab a little lunch at Fredella's or sit in the table area and enjoy the action with some of your friends. Grab a carol and enjoy the action as a lone there are groups in the carols. You can have a little conversation out there as well. But as I say, we would love to have you down here if you'd like to join us at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. Otherwise, I'll wrap it up for Racing Across America on this Sunday morning. Seth Merrill in the studio. As always, really do appreciate your tuning in. And we invite you to tune back in just about an hour and a half or so for OTB Live for a Sunday afternoon. We'll see you then.
We would like to thank Woodbine for their sponsorship of this program and some of the other programming and events here at Capital OTB. Woodbine's 2023 Thoroughbred Stakes program has more than $17 million in purses, including 39 graded stakes, 5 grade 1 events, and 2 $1 million classics, the King's Plate and the Woodbine Mile. Woodbine, now through December, great racing north of the border.
You're watching OTB TV. a service of Capital Off Track Betting.